There was a certain island in the sea, the only inhabitants of which were an old man, whose name was Prospero, and his daughter Miranda, a very beautiful young lady. She came to this island so young that she had no memory of having seen any other human face than her father's. They lived in a cave or cell made out of a rock. It was divided into several apartments, one of which Prospero called his study. There he kept his books, which chiefly treated of magic, a study at that time much affected by all learned men. And the knowledge of this art he found very useful to him, for being thrown by a strange chance upon this island, which had been enchanted by a witch called Sycorax, who died there a short time before his arrival, Prospero, by virtue of his art, released many good spirits that Sycorax had imprisoned in the bodies of large trees, because they had refused to execute her wicked commands. These gentle spirits were ever after obedient to the will of Prospero. Of these, Ariel was the chief. This lively little sprite, Ariel, had nothing mischievous in his nature, except that he took rather too much pleasure in tormenting an ugly monster called Caliban, for he owed him a grudge because he was the son of his old enemy Sycorax. This Caliban Prospero found in the woods, a strange misshapen thing, far less human in form than an ape. He took him home to his cell, and taught him to speak, and Prospero would have been very kind to him, but the bad nature which Caliban inherited from his mother Sycorax would not let him learn anything good or useful. Therefore he was employed like a slave to fetch wood and do the most laborious offices, and Ariel had the charge of compelling him to these services. Having these powerful spirits obedient to his will, Prospero could by their means command the winds and the waves of the sea. By his orders, they raised a violent storm, in the midst of which, and struggling with the wild sea waves that every moment threatened to swallow it up, he showed his daughter a fine large ship, which he told her was full of living beings like themselves. "Oh, my dear father, if by your art you have raised this dreadful storm!" Now Miranda had never seen a man before except her own father. "Oh, father, surely that is a spirit! Lord, how it looks about! Believe me, sir, it is a beautiful creature. Is it not a spirit?"
"No, girl. It eats and sleeps, and has senses such as we have. This young man you see was in the ship."
Miranda, who thought all men had grave faces and grey beards like her father, was delighted with the appearance of this beautiful young prince, and Ferdinand, seeing such a lovely lady in this desert place, thought he was upon an enchanted island, and that Miranda was the goddess of the place, and as such he began to address her. She timidly answered she was no goddess, but a simple maid, and was going to give an account of herself when Prospero interrupted her. He was well pleased to find they admired each other, for he plainly perceived they had, as we say, fallen in love at first sight. Therefore, advancing forward, he addressed the prince with a stern air, telling him he came to the island as a spy, to take it from him who was the lord of it. "Follow me," he said. "I will tie your neck and feet together. You shall drink seawater, shellfish, withered roots, and husks of acorns shall be your food."
"No," said Ferdinand, and drew his sword. But Prospero, waving his magic wand, fixed him to the spot where he stood, so that he had no power to move. "Come on, young man," said Prospero to the prince. "You have no power to disobey me."
"I have not indeed," answered Ferdinand, and not knowing it was by magic he was deprived of all power of resistance, he was astonished to find he was so strangely compelled to follow Prospero. Looking back on Miranda as long as he could see her, he said, as he went after Prospero into the cave, "My spirits are all bound up as if I were in a dream. But this man's threats, and the weakness which I feel, would seem light to me if from my prison I might once a day behold this fair maid."
Prospero commanded Ferdinand to pile up some heavy logs of wood. King's sons not being much used to laborious work, Miranda soon after found her lover almost dying with fatigue. "Alas," said she, "do not work so hard. My father is at his studies. He is safe for these 3 hours. Pray rest yourself."
"Oh, my dear lady," said Ferdinand, "I dare not. I must finish my task before I take my rest.
If you will sit down, I will carry your logs the while." But this Ferdinand would by no means agree to. Instead of a help, Miranda became a hindrance, for they began a long conversation, so that the business of log-carrying went on very slowly. And then Ferdinand told the innocent Miranda he was heir to the crown of Naples, and that she should be his queen.
"Ah, sir," said she, "I will answer you in plain and holy innocence. I am your wife, if you will marry me."
Prospero prevented Ferdinand's thanks by appearing visible before them. "Fear nothing, my child," said he. "I have overheard and approve of all you have said. And Ferdinand, if I have too severely used you, I will make you rich amends by giving you my daughter." Prospero left them and called his spirit Ariel, who quickly appeared before him, eager to relate what he had done with Prospero's brother and the king of Naples. Ariel said he had left them almost out of their senses with fear at the strange things he had caused them to see and hear. When fatigued with wandering about and famished for want of food, he had suddenly set before them a delicious banquet, and then, just as they were going to eat, he appeared visible before them in the shape of a harpy, a voracious monster with wings, and the feast vanished away. Then, to their utter amazement, this seeming harpy spoke to them, reminding them of their cruelty in driving Prospero from his dukedom, and leaving him and his infant daughter to perish in the sea, saying that for this cause these terrors were suffered to afflict them. The king of Naples and Antonio, the false brother, repented the injustice they had done to Prospero, and Ariel told his master he was certain their penitence was sincere, and that he, though a spirit, could not but pity them. "Then bring them hither, Ariel," said Prospero. "If you, who are but a spirit, feel for their distress, shall not I, who am a human being like themselves, have compassion on them? Bring them quickly, my dainty Ariel." Ariel soon returned with the king, Antonio, and old Gonzalo in their train. Grief and terror had so stupefied their senses that they did not know Prospero. He first discovered himself to the good old Gonzalo, calling him the preserver of his life, and then his brother and the king knew that he was the injured Prospero. Antonio, with tears and sad words of sorrow and true repentance, implored his brother's forgiveness, and the king expressed his sincere remorse for having assisted Antonio to depose his brother. And Prospero forgave them, and, upon their engaging to restore his dukedom, he said to the king of Naples, "I have a gift in store for you too," and opening a door showed him his son Ferdinand playing at chess with Miranda.
"Oh, wonder," said Miranda, "what noble creatures these are! It must surely be a brave world that has such people in it."
The king of Naples was almost as much astonished at the beauty and excellent grace of the young Miranda as his son had been. "Who is this maid?" said he. "She seems the goddess that has parted us and brought us thus together." "No, sir," answered Ferdinand, smiling to find his father had fallen into the same mistake that he had done when he first saw Miranda. "She is immortal, but by immortal providence she is mine. I chose her when I could not ask you, my father, for your consent, not thinking you were alive."
"Then I must be her father," said the king.
"But oh, how oddly will it sound that I must ask my child's forgiveness."
"No more of that," said Prospero. "Let us not remember our troubles past, since they so happily have ended."
Prospero now told them that their ship was safe in the harbor, and the sailors all on board her, and that he and his daughter would accompany them home the next morning. Before Prospero left the island, he dismissed Ariel from his service, to the great joy of that lively little spirit. Here Ariel sung this pretty song. Where the bee sucks, there suck I, in a cowslip's bell I lie, there I couch when owls do cry, on the bat's back do I fly, after summer merrily, merrily, merrily shall I live now, under the blossom that hangs on the bough. Prospero then buried deep in the earth his magical books and wand, for he was resolved never more to make use of the magic art.